Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. Welcome. This is Friday, May 11th, 2012. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today, who's off working on projects, either that or recuperating to work on projects as soon as he gets back. I hope he's actually taking a little bit of a break. He certainly deserves one. We've got an amazing lineup of breaking news, information, interviews. This is going to be one of those shows that you do want to call people and invite them to listen in on because of the importance of the information that's breaking here. Let me give you a quick rundown of what's coming up. We are going to be covering the rapidly deteriorating Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant situation in Japan, where we have literally thousands of spent fuel rods that are now just accessing or releasing radiation into the open air. And another criticality event, a meltdown, is possible. An earthquake or a tsunami could unleash another massive plume of radiation that within 10 days would land in North America, spreading cesium-137, a very toxic, obviously radioactive substance with a 30-year half-life all across North America. And I've looked at the wind patterns, and no state in America is safe from that. That would drop cesium-137 everywhere from Alaska down to Miami and everywhere in between. And to join us today and talk about that, we do have Arne Gunderson. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of this hour to cover his view. He is, of course, an expert on the nuclear industry, and he's going to tell us what his view is on the warnings and what might happen and what we can do to help stop this situation. Remember, it's not just us raising the alarm about this. Also, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon has raised the alarm on this issue. And kudos to Senator Wyden for taking the step of actually going to visit the facility and then spreading the alarm. So we're going to cover that. Then we've also got, after that, in the second hour, Dr. Len Saputo is going to be joining us to talk about how we can protect ourselves from radiation. So there are some things that we can do in terms of nutrition and detox and food selection, lots of important things that we can do. And he's the expert on that. In fact, he's a holistic doctor. He's into healing. He's into all kinds of nutritional strategies. Many of those strategies are now being used by people here at the InfoWars team, InfoWars studio, to improve their health and prevent any kind of degenerative disease from taking hold. So Dr. Len Saputo joins us. That's going to be an amazing report. And then also in the third hour, we have breaking news on the situation in Minnesota, where a farmer is about to be sentenced and have his 3-day trial on Monday. And his crime was delivering fresh milk. Once again, fresh milk to moms in Minnesota. And those moms are now being threatened by the state of Minnesota with criminal prosecution if they allow their homes to be used as drop-off points for fresh milk from a farm. Yes, indeed. What California did to James Stewart and Sharon Palmer, the state of Minnesota is now doing to moms and farmers. And that is a very big breaking story. We've got all the details here. We're going to be covering the upcoming rally, asking you to join that rally on Monday if you are in Minnesota, and bringing you an interview with one of the moms who has been threatened by the state of Minnesota. This kind of craziness is now catching on all across the country, sadly, and it turns out the FDA is behind it all. The feds, the Food and Drug Administration, is giving money to the state departments of agriculture in order to create these special prosecutorial task forces that go after farmers and moms with the threat of guns drawn. Sometimes they do draw their guns. Sometimes they go in with armed raids at these food facilities. That's happening in America today. We're going to be covering all that and much more, including Alex Jones will be joining us in the second hour right here on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. All that straight ahead and much more. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Friday, May 11th, 2012. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com, filling in for Alex Jones today from occupied America, FEMA Region 6 here behind enemy lines, as they say, in Austin, Texas, bringing you today's breaking news, which is, as usual, extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. Geraldo Rivera has just announced, well, yesterday he talked about the TSA. He was covering the story of how the TSA considered an 18-month-old toddler to be a terrorist, and they forced the toddler and the family off of the airplane and detained them for quite some time and humiliated them in the airport. This is again, as part of the MO of the TSA, which has nothing to do with security and everything to do with enforcing a police state mentality. So in talking about that, Rivera appeared on Fox and Friends yesterday, and he said that he was raped by the TSA. His words, quote, "The last time I flew to Afghanistan, I got manually raped by a guy who the scanner wasn't working." These were his own words. He then said that his, quote, "junk was junked by a TSA screener." I apologize for the graphic nature of this language, but this is Geraldo's language himself. I'm not paraphrasing. I'm quoting him exactly. Quote, "This guy, it seemed, was getting off on it. And the more and the tighter I got and the angrier I got, you know, he just wanted to be a little more intimate." Of course he did. Oh, my. "And I was so frustrated," Geraldo continues. "I called the TSA and I called and I called. I went on television. I exposed them. I embarrassed them. I said, can't you? And they just could not remove my name from the computer that had the no-fly list. Yeah. See, this is why I don't fly. See, the TSA punishes anyone who dares to speak out about them. This is exactly what Geraldo just experienced. They put him on the no-fly list, which is, of course, is a secret, completely unconstitutional list. You don't know how you got on the list. You don't know how to get your name removed from the list. There's no procedure for it. It's a giant secret government black box, which is that's how the entire government works now in America. Welcome to the new occupied America, the banker occupied America. And so in exposing all of this, Rivera has been punished by them. Isn't there a congressman in Texas that's also gone on the record and said that every time he flies, they squeeze his genitals? They actually punish him by squeezing him a little extra. This is why I don't fly, because I put out the TSA, the Don't Touch My Junk music video song, and also, of course, the TSA Help Wanted animation parody video that makes fun of the TSA and exposes them as being the total perverts and thugs that they truly are. So I don't fly because I know they're going to drop a bag of cocaine in my luggage and then arrest me for drugs that I've never even used. So I'm sure the TSA is just waiting to find me in the airport, so I'm not going to give them that opportunity. So I'm supporting Senator Rand Paul's effort to, of course, eliminate and shut down the TSA. In fact, another U.S. congressman, I don't recall his name at the moment, just in the last few days called for the resignation of Pistoli, the head of the TSA, who, of course, not only needs to resign, I think he needs to be arrested. That's my opinion. I think he needs to be investigated and arrested. But that's just the beginning of the crazy breaking news. I'm going to talk to you about the Pentagon's new technology, which is trying to build a neuro-linguistic programming engine so that they can contrive the right story that the public will buy. That's the Pentagon's new weapon. It's a neuro-linguistic weapon that's been reported by the BBC. I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's get to some other, a little more mild news. Here's some stuff. For everybody who owns a car, changing the oil on your car every 3,000 miles may not be necessary. In fact, I'm calling that idea a scam because it's really not necessary for most cars. In fact, Toyota and other manufacturers, many of their cars can go 7,500, 10,000, or even 15,000 miles without needing an oil change. Oh, here it is. So there's a website out there where you can check and see how often you actually need to change the oil on your car. And, oh man, I'm going to get that website for you after the break. I'm sorry, I don't have that for you right now. I'll get that website for you, but let me go to the next news item. We'll come back to that. Washington State declares whooping cough an epidemic after just a few hundred people have symptoms of the whooping cough and almost no deaths from it. But here's the deal. They always declare these epidemics, and then they use it to push vaccines in the state. But what they don't tell you is that the outbreaks of whooping cough are higher among children who have been vaccinated against whooping cough. This is on Daily News. For those of you watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, whooping cough epidemic hits Washington State. Boy, these vaccine pushers, they love to declare epidemics. So does the CDC, but they never tell you the truth. Well, we've published on Natural News the truth about how the outbreaks are higher among children who are vaccinated. In other words, if you get the whooping cough vaccine, your risk of contracting the whooping cough goes up. It goes up. So not getting vaccinated is the best protection against the whooping cough. Actually, vitamin D is a much better protection. Also, whooping cough vaccines have been linked to seizures. And we've got that story also posted on Natural News as well. And InfoWars, of course, covers all of this. In fact, the polio vaccines in India that are causing paralysis. Aaron Dykes did an excellent story on that. Kurt Nimmo, Paul Watson are all over that story. Check this out. Here's some... Actually, let me go to this sheet right here. And for those of you watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, I've got a new prop in the studio today. We've got the Liberty Eagle, Liberty flag right here. I want to get a big "Don't Tread on Me" kind of flag situation here. I'm going to start bringing props into the studio every time I'm here. I want to put a copy of the Constitution on the wall behind me here, or at least the Bill of Rights. There it is. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Liberty right there. I know for those of you on the radio, you're going, what? You can watch on PrisonPlanet.tv. But here it is, the combination tetanus and whooping cough vaccine linked to seizures in babies. And this was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So even the conventional medical system openly admits that these vaccines cause seizures. And then here's the story about how whooping cough outbreaks are higher among children who have been vaccinated. It actually causes the disease. And then here's Washington State declaring an actual epidemic, and they're seeking the CDC help. Oh, yes, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, should be called the Centers for Disease Contradiction, because they actually promote more disease than they ever prevent. Oh, yeah, the CDC loves to push new diseases out there with those weaponized vaccines. Check this out. Military training in the middle of Miami jolts residents out of bed. The Grand Bay Hotel was attacked. Wait, never mind. This is in the MiamiHerald.com. It was just a military training exercise. So if you woke up, this was just a few days ago, in fact. If you woke up on Tuesday, May 8th, and you saw a bunch of black helicopters and military troops jumping out of them and raiding this hotel and firing off a bunch of blank rounds. Obviously, they weren't live ammunition, but they sounded like it to the residents of the city. Oh, guess what? It's just another military exercise to get everybody used to the idea that the U.S. military is going to be on the streets as usual, just to get you used to it. So that when DHS brings in the bulletproof pill boxes and the roadside checkpoints and what, the 450 million rounds of 40 caliber hollow point ammo, not to mention all the 223 rounds or the 556 rounds or whatever else they're buying, that all the Americans are just going to sit back and say, oh yeah, they've been doing that for the last couple of years. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. We see military people raiding hotels and shooting up city streets all the time. It must be okay. Must be another training exercise, they're going to say. And on the subject of mind control, check this out. This is in the BBC. Search for this title, guys. Building the Pentagon's Like Me Weapon. Building the Pentagon's Like Me Weapon. I'm going to read you right from this article. This is a fascinating story. And I don't think it's really been covered that much in the alternative media. The military is creating a device, and this is quoting from the story, that could advise them what to say, generating a story based on a scientific understanding of the brain's inner workings to soothe tempers and calm the mood of the population. It sounds like something from a science fiction blockbuster, the BBC reports, but is in fact the premise behind the Pentagon's growing interest in the neurobiology of political violence, a relatively new field that combines neuroscience with more traditional social science-based approaches to understanding human behavior. Do you understand what this is really saying? This is a neuro-linguistic social engineering brain hack. This is propaganda at the level of the neural processors in your brain. This is a way to create a story, to have a computer actually spit out a story that they know the people will believe. Like, we killed bin Laden and threw his body in the ocean because that's what they do in that religion. Total nonsense, complete fiction, but people bought it. I mean, why do they need computers to come up with this stuff? It seems like whoever's running things at the globalist agenda level, they're already coming up with stories that people will buy. And besides, it seems like there's no skepticism out there anyway, anymore. People will buy almost anything. Have you noticed that? They'll buy almost anything. Like they could make up a crazy story. Bin Laden was using his wife as a shield, and then he launched little miniature pumpkin grenades like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. And so we had to shoot him, and we dunked his head 3 times in the water, and bubbles still came up. So then we put his feet in lead bricks and let him sink to the bottom of the ocean, where he started glowing. So we had to launch a nuclear weapon. This is the kind of stuff they come up with, and people actually will believe it as long as it's pushed out there by CNN and NPR and all these mainstream media websites. Doesn't matter if it's fiction. People buy it anyway. It's all theater, security theater for your benefit. All right, a lot more straight ahead here on The Alex Jones Show. Lots of news on Fukushima. We'll be joined by Arne Gunderson. Stay right with us. We do have Arne Gunderson joining us in a few minutes to talk about the Fukushima situation and the threat of an additional radioactive plume striking North America. In fact, the entire Northern Hemisphere because of the global wind patterns. But before, we have a sobering story about Kelly Thomas. And many of you may already be aware of who is Kelly Thomas. He is the homeless man who was beat to death in Fullerton, California, by police officers. He was begging for his life, begging for his daddy. He was just beat to a pulp by, I believe it was up to 8 officers. It started with just 2 officers. We're showing a little bit of the footage. Keep showing as much as you can there, guys. This is the first time I'm seeing this particular footage. We can't show it all because it's just too graphic. It's too heart-wrenching. It is an absolute anti-humanitarian abuse of a human being by police officers who have lost it. And again, the man's name is Kelly Thomas. Go ahead and search prisonplanet.com for stories about Kelly Thomas. Search YouTube. Look for the video yourself if you want to see it. What happened is this started with 2 officers, one of them tasering the man, and then after the taser was fired at him, disabling him, he was struck with the taser weapon itself as a blunt object. And then he was essentially gang beat by a gang of other police officers who are supposed to be law enforcement officers. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit... this video is absolutely horrific, and I'm looking at a picture of the man. You can hardly recognize that it's a face at all. It is a mass of blood and bone and sinew and skin, and this man was beat to death by these police officers in California. And those officers are now facing prosecution. And I want to be clear that not all police officers are bad, that most members of law enforcement, especially those in the sheriff's and deputies' departments, are very honest, honorable individuals. Many of them are patriots. Many of them are going to do the right thing when the time comes. They will make the right decision to protect liberty and to protect the innocent in America. And yet, across America today, we do have rogue gang units of police police departments. Now, this is true in every major city. It's true in Miami. It's true in Chicago. It's true in L.A., obviously. It's true in San Diego. It is this is an epidemic of police violence against individuals. And you know where it comes from? You know where what makes this possible? It is that the federal government is setting the example of brutality and sexual molestation of the people. So when the TSA reaches down your pants and squeezes your genitals and punishes people like Geraldo Rivera just went public and said he was raped by the TSA. When that is allowed in America, and when the people don't stand up against it and say enough is enough, and we're not going to be raped, we're not going to be treated to this kind of violence by the government, then the local police departments, they start getting the idea, well, hey, we can do it too. We can rape people. We can commit violence against people. We can just beat whoever we want, beat them to death. And that's exactly what they did. Information from the court case. This is from the OCRegister.com. Right out of Orange County. It was a 33-minute surveillance video of the confrontation that has surfaced. And of course, without that surveillance video, none of these cops ever probably would have faced any prosecution because they could just beat people to death in dark alleys where no one's looking and they get away with it routinely. And these cops obviously need to go to jail, and it looks like they're going to if this case moves forward as expected. Let me read you some other details from the case here because it's absolutely, it's heart-wrenching and it is a big warning. One officer, Cicinelli, I'm not sure the pronunciation, stunned Thomas with a taser and then hit him in the face with a plastic gun. He's charged with involuntary manslaughter and excessive force under the color of authority, free on $25,000 bail. Now, remember this, in California, they gave James Stewart $1 million bail for distributing raw milk. So if you beat a man to death, your bail is only $25,000. But if you distribute real food, oh my God, fresh raw milk, you get $1 million bail. That's justice in California. And this officer is facing 4 years in prison. James Stewart's facing 40 years in prison for distributing raw milk. This videotape shown in public for the first time showed an escalating situation that abruptly became violent when one of the officers says, he puts on rubber gloves and says, "Now you see my fists? They're getting ready to F you up. If you don't start F listening," he says, those are the words of the officer in the surveillance tape. That's what it has come to in America today. That's what happened to Kelly Thomas. A lot more straight ahead on Fukushima and Arne Gunderson. Stay with us. This is Mike Adams hosting the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back after this break.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
The Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant has become yet a renewed concern for the fate of life on our planet, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, which is, of course, strongly affected by the wind patterns of whatever radiation might be released from Fukushima. In fact, some are claiming that a very large amount of radiation has already been released. And by claiming, I say that with a bit of satire, because, of course, it's happened. Multiple meltdowns already happened. And that cover-up is being called Plume Gate. So just search that term if you want to learn more, Plume Gate. And now Senator Ron Wyden, who actually is a pretty decent guy. I used to live in Oregon in his district when he was a congressman. And I don't agree with all his politics, obviously, but pretty decent guy, you know, really within the system. He tries to help people more than most, I would say. And he went out and visited the Fukushima facility to have a look for himself. And when he came back, he issued an urgent warning. He put it right on his own website, the government website, Senate website. And he said that it is a precarious situation, and he said that the entire facility is only protected from a second tsunami by something that he called the bags of rocks placed there, a makeshift wall, he said, made by bags of rocks placed there by hand. That's not going to survive a tsunami. That's not going to stop a giant tidal wave coming in. Not even a chance. Now, at the same time, a former Japan ambassador has gone on the record and made a statement saying that, quote, "the fate of the world depends on reactor number 4. Those are his words. So there's been a lot of increasing concern about the fuel rod, the spent fuel rods that are in the pools that are now have open access to the environment, and what might happen if there is a subsequent earthquake or a tsunami, which could happen theoretically at any time. It's largely unpredictable. What will happen? And to help answer that question is Arne Gunnarsson joining us today by Skype video, an amazing expert. He's been one of the most courageous scientific voices speaking out about the reality of what's happening in Fukushima, even as others try to cover up and downplay. Arne Gunnarsson has been actually reporting the truth from his website, fairwinds.com. That's F-A-I-R-E, winds.com. Did I get that right? Is that the right website?
You got it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Arne, thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you on the Alex Jones Show. How are you doing today?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm great.
Well, it's an honor to have you on. You are one of the most widely known voices out there in the truth movement, and also among the scientific followers of what's happening in Fukushima. Can you begin by telling us what is your understanding of the status, the current status of the situation in Fukushima, and in particular, reactor number 4 and its spent fuel rod pool?
I think you hit the nail on the head at the beginning of the hour here. The Unit 4 has always been, since the very first week or two of the accident, in my mind, the biggest concern. And the term I used a year ago was that if the Unit 4 fuel pool goes, we'll have Chernobyl on steroids. And I still believe that today. The problem with that pool is that there's an entire nuclear core's worth of hot fuel. And by that, I mean physically hot, because it just ran. And 4 or 5 more years of spent fuel. The combination means that if it were to go dry, that it would burn and liberate an enormous amount of radiation. Brookhaven National Lab said that a fuel pool fire like could be experienced at Fukushima Daiichi 4 would kill 186,000 people from cancer.
Now, is that just a fire situation? If the containment concrete cracks, the water drains out, or another earthquake happens, it all collapses. Is it a fire that releases that, or is there the possibility of it achieving again criticality or a meltdown scenario?
No, it can't. Low enriched fuel, like in a power reactor, has to have water around it to have a fission. For a chain reaction to occur. Now, what would happen what I'm postulating is if there's a 7.75 earthquake and the pool cracks or the building topples, but let's say the pool cracks, the pool runs dry, the zircaloy clad, it would become hot enough to burn in air. And it's called a pyrophoric reaction. Once it starts, you can't put it out by throwing water on it because it takes the oxygen out of the water and just gets hotter.
So this would be like a massive dirty bomb essentially being set off, and it would just burn and release into the atmosphere, and then the wind takes it from there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
So let me ask you this. If a terrorist group had this much nuclear material in their hands, how do you think America's response would be different? Because I find it interesting that this is essentially a dirty bomb, a ticking time dirty bomb, and America's doing essentially nothing. But if a terrorist had this much material, how bad would that be, Arne?
You know, we've been saying that here in the States, and you know, I'm on record as saying that this type of reactor, this Mark I reactor, you know, this fuel pool is up in the air about 100 feet high, and it's a terrorist target. And this isn't since Fukushima. I've been saying this for 10 years. The problem is if a terrorist were to broach the side of the fuel pool with, you know, some kind of a guided weapon, not a rifle.
But like an RPG or something like that.
Yeah. That you would drain the pool here in the States. And it would create the same scenario. So this isn't something that the NRC and the nuclear community hasn't heard. They've just ignored it.
What's the deal with the other pool of stored fuel rods that's located reportedly about 50 meters away from this reactor number 4 pool? What's the interaction between those two pools?
The Japanese, unlike the Americans, have kept all their nuclear fuel in the fuel pool. So you've got a plant like Pilgrim with 37 years worth, whereas Fukushima only has 7 or 8. the Japanese took the fuel down out of these precarious pools when they got to 5, 6, 7 years and put them in a common pool. So they have an enormous common pool, but it's at grade level. So from a seismic standpoint, it's much more rigid. The Fukushima 4 pool is way up in the air, so it's like an upside-down pendulum in the event of an accident. My, you know, in addition to Unit 4, and I'm clearly on record as saying both these, Unit 3 is not much better. So there's actually two fuel pools that could cause, you know, certainly the evacuation of Tokyo would be plausible if that pool were to catch fire.
What about the evacuation of California? How much of a concern would it be if that pool, if the fuel rods in Pool 4 caught on fire and that radiation was released and all the isotopes, the iodine-131, the cesium-137, I think is a bigger concern. In your estimation, what is the range of possibilities of impacts on states like California, Oregon, Alaska, Washington, especially West Coast USA?
Yeah, well, first off, you're not going to find any iodine because that only has an 8-day half-life. So it's been gone for years. But the amount of cesium in those pools is roughly comparable to what's gone up in nuclear weapons testing, above ground nuclear weapons testing, for 30 years. I'm telling my friends that on the West Coast, you got to watch it like a hawk every day. Go up and make sure Unit 4 is standing. And if it's not, we'll watch the plume, but have a plan B to move somewhere.
Well, that's great advice, Arnie, and I want to encourage viewers and listeners to visit your website, fairwinds.com. Again, that's spelled F-A-I-R-E, fair, almost fairywinds.com might be the phonetic way to say it. But the problem with what you just said, or I should say the challenge, is that the mainstream media has already demonstrated it's going to lie about this. So if the average person out there in California, let's say, says, well, I'm going to watch CNN and I'm going to wait for CNN to tell me whether or not there's been a big release of radiation from Fukushima, isn't it possible that CNN may just never cover it, or they may downplay it, or the U.S. government may come up with some kind of weird cover story? Hasn't the truth already been manipulated so much that we can't really trust the media to tell us the future of what's going on there?
Well, I don't trust the mainstream media. CNN had me on 20 times, so they've done better than most of the others.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. That's actually to their credit to have you on then.
Well, thank you. But you're absolutely right. The mainstream media has underplayed the Fukushima disaster since it began. It's through alternative shows like yours, it's through alternative sites like mine, that people are getting the knowledge that experts have. You know, all the things I've been saying for the last year are turning up in FOIA requests from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. They were thinking it, they just weren't telling the public.
Right, you nailed it. The FOIA requests have revealed a lot of interesting information. Where wasn't one of the documents from the NRC showing that by their calculations, they had already estimated that 18,000 infant deaths had occurred in the USA due to the radiation? Or am I getting that right?
I don't remember seeing that one, but there were so many that were terrifying. You know, they had data from the roof of the embassy in Tokyo in the first week that was terrifying, and yet they never made that information public. We had a businessman in Tokyo who was staying on the same block as the U.S. Embassy take a sample from the roof of his hotel, and it was hotter than a pistol. And this was 6 months after the accident. So we have known that Tokyo was jeopardized at the beginning of this accident since it was happening, and really didn't do much to warn the citizens.
Wow, for those watching PrisonPlanet.tv, they just showed the footage of one of the explosions of one of the reactors. Was that reactor number 2 that was being shown? I don't know. But it looks like a massive explosion. There's been conjecture that perhaps it was a nuclear explosion. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts on that, Arnie?
It was a prompt, moderated criticality.
Okay, you're going to have to break that down for us all.
Well, a bomb is a prompt, fast criticality. A nuclear reactor is usually never prompt.
yeah, unfortunately.
This could take an hour, but I'll try to knock it out in 30 seconds.
Well, imagine like all the power that would power the city of Tokyo for 10 years being released in 2 seconds is what kind of what you're getting at.
Well, that's what a bomb is, right? If your readers want to go, your listeners want to go up and watch this, you can see that we tested this 40 years ago in an experiment called Borax, B-O-R-A-X, just like the 20 mules. The Borax experiments look almost exactly like the explosion of Fukushima Unit 3, and those were prompt, moderated criticalities.
Okay, so it's not the same as a detonation of a nuclear warhead, obviously, but it's certainly a much faster release than was planned by the engineers who built the facility. Now, one of the things I really respect about you, Arnie, is that you visited Japan, you took some soil samples, and I believe on your website, fairwinds.com, you even mentioned that in the United States, those soil samples, they are so contaminated with radiation that they would be considered what? What was the term you used?
Oh, they'd be considered radioactive waste, and they'd have to be, you know, stored in a controlled facility, yeah.
So that soil, how far out from Fukushima did you sample that soil?
Well, you know, that's the point I was trying to make in the video. Tokyo is, depending on where you are, 150 miles away from the accident. And yet, I mean, these people were gardening in soil that was, in the States, would be considered radioactive waste. And
wow.
I shot the video when I was at a meeting in Washington, D.C. And my point was, Tokyo is the capital of Japan. And within 100 miles of Washington are a dozen nuclear reactors. How would we feel if our capital was so contaminated that it should be considered nuclear waste? I think the public reaction would be dramatic. You know, we've got to shut these things down. Whereas because it's happened in the other guy's country, mainstream media has totally ignored it.
But you hit on something really crucial right there. You said that the soils are so contaminated, and that was with cesium-137, correct?
Cesium-137 and 134. That's how you know it came from Fukushima. If it was just cesium-137, it could be bomb, it could be Chernobyl. But when you see 134 and 137 together, that's the signature from Fukushima.
All right, that's because every fuel source in the nuclear industry has a particular elemental signature or fingerprint, you might say, that can identify its source. What's crucial about what you just said also is that if the soils are contaminated, cesium is very close to the mineral action of potassium in plants. So I believe that when plants are grown, when food crops are grown in soil contaminated by cesium, to the extent that those plants would normally uptake potassium, which is a common mineral in many crops, including potatoes, for example, they would uptake that cesium, which would go into the food so that the people who grew their food on that land would then be eating radioactive food.
Yeah. Cesium is exactly chemically like potassium. If you remember your high school chemistry, they're right above each other in the periodic chart. But so they're both muscle seekers. And what we find with cesium poisoning is that, especially in kids that are growing, illnesses like something called Chernobyl heart, where the cesium builds up in a muscle that's rapidly growing, like an infant or a fetus's heart, and causes heart damage or heart holes, while the infant may live for the rest of their life after surgery. You know, their life is, expectancy is shortened, and the quality of life is minimal. So cesium is a muscle seeker. It also produces cancers, obviously, but because it's radioactive. But in addition, it can do damage to muscles, especially in kids that are rapidly growing.
So this is an indiscriminate. Obviously, it can be used as a weapon by terrorists or even false flag attacks, which is another concern of many of the listeners here on the Alex Jones Show. We had a report from Mike Bundrant, who's one of our contributing writers over at Natural News. He was in Tokyo recently. And he discovered that many families are eating this contaminated food because their parents or their other family members are living in a state of denial. They've been told by the Japanese government that this is safe, so they're planting food on this contaminated soil, they're eating this radioactive food, and they are doing so knowing it's radioactive, but they can't go against their other family members because of the very powerful, you know, parental family structure often that you find in Japanese families. And these middle-aged Japanese citizens, they're going to die of cancer from it.
You know, you're absolutely right. It's a cultural problem there, and the government is playing on the cultural problem. There's a ray of hope here because the women of Japan aren't buying it. The men seem to be saying, well, my government told me it's safe, therefore it's safe. Whereas the women, especially the young childbearing age women, are just saying, you know, hell no, we won't glow, I guess is the old term.
That's a good one.
But the women in Japan are a significant majority in all of these marches that you see, which is unheard of for Japan. I mean, the women...
Arnie, sorry to interrupt you. We got to go to break, but stay with us. I want to ask you on the other side of this break about the 85 times Chernobyl radiation figure that's been floating around. That and much more straight ahead here on The Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back after this break. Fukushima threatens the continuation of life as we know it in the Northern Hemisphere. It doesn't mean it's going to kill us all, but it does mean it could threaten the healthy continuation of life as we know it. It could threaten crops. It could threaten literally millions of acres of farming land across North America if a worst-case scenario happens. And sadly, the worst-case scenario could be unleashed in many ways from another earthquake, another tsunami that hits the Fukushima facility. This is an issue that affects North America. It affects Europe. It affects Russia. It affects China. It's not just Japan that's affected by this. And that's why we're featuring this information here. We've got Arnie Gundersen joining us from Fairwinds. And he is one of the top nuclear experts and very outspoken, but also very considered in his information. That's what I really respect about Arnie, that he is methodical in his research and he's very considered in his statements about Fukushima. Before we bring him back in very quickly, in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Len Saputo to talk to us about some solutions for protecting our bodies from radiation in case that worst case scenario happens. And then also we've got Alex Jones calling in at the, what about half an hour from now? Alex is going to call in and give us some comments on current events as well. Now, back to Arnie Gundersen from Fairwinds.com. Arnie, before the break, I asked you about this figure that's been floating around this 85 times. I guess there's been a calculation of the total amount of unspent fuel or partially spent fuel in the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear facility, and that was calculated to be 85 times, roughly 85 times the amount of energy released in the Chernobyl accident in, I believe, 1986. Is that figure accurate, or does it need to be fact-checked?
I'm not sure where they got that. I believe Fukushima is worse than Chernobyl, and I think I can prove that. I think that number may also include the possibility of the meltdown of the fuel in the fuel pools, which hasn't occurred yet. So if you look at the three reactors that melted down, clearly they released more noble gases, things like xenon and krypton, at least triple what Chernobyl released. And they actually picked that up in Seattle. This is separate from the hot particles in Seattle, but there was xenon and krypton picked up to the tune of 100,000 times normal in Seattle in March and April after the accident, published peer-reviewed stuff. So that's one kind of isotope, and that doesn't react with anything. It pops right out of the fuel. But cesium and the iodine and things like that are probably roughly on the order, maybe twice as much as Fukushima. You know, this is such a horrific accident, but it's hard to believe the Japanese were lucky. But there's two things they were lucky about. One is that 80% of the time the wind blew out to sea. Now, so most of this, 78% of this radiation wound up in the ocean. That's not good for the fish and ultimately not good for us, but it's good for the people in Japan. The other piece of it was it happened on a Friday. And they had 1,000 people at Daiichi and another 1,000 at Daini. Had that not happened, if it happened on a weekend, Dainee would have melted down as well. There's four reactors there that would have melted down as well. So we could have had 10 nuclear reactors melting down if this thing had happened on a Saturday.
Well, this gets back to the whole thing called Murphy's Law, and I'm really starting to question the ability of science to anticipate the long-term implications of its present-day actions. I want to ask you about that, and how can science be made safer? When we return on the other side of this break, you are listening to The Alex Jones Show, an interview with Arne Gundersen about Fukushima and radiation. And the next hour begins in just minutes, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the second hour of the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams filling in for Alex today, but he will be joining us in approximately 25 minutes with some announcements about Bilderberg. So, that's going to be interesting. He's got some major announcements to make. And between now and then, we continue to be joined by Arne Gundersen, nuclear industry expert, an outspoken scientist. I don't know if outspoken is the right word, just somebody who's willing to tell the truth, you know, which is so rare today that it almost seems extraordinary. But it is just someone willing to tell the truth. He continues with us. Arne, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, great. So in the last segment, we talked about how the amount of radiation released from Fukushima has already vastly exceeded the amount released from Chernobyl and that catastrophic accident in Ukraine. But what about the amount of energy contained in these partially spent fuel rods that could conceivably burn? Is there any estimation of how much energy is in that fuel compared to Chernobyl?
Oh, that would be 20 times Chernobyl, but I'm sure. You know, so here, suddenly that 85 doesn't look too unrealistic when you start looking at any single fuel pool. You know, I said earlier, everybody's focused on Unit 4, and rightfully so, but Unit 3 had a more severe explosion and is likely structurally weakened even more than Unit 4. And the Unit 3 pool has about half as much nuclear fuel that's the Unit 4 pool. So it's not clear to me that Unit 3 is a whole heck of a lot better.
What is the thinking behind this idea of whoever engineered these nuclear power plants? And I know U.S. corporations, I think General Electric was part of the key designer. You can correct me if I'm wrong about that. But what is this idea of let's store nuclear fuel 30 meters above the ground in a pool? Why not always store it at ground level or underground, even on site?
That's a great question. I asked that question 40 years ago when I started my career. And at the time, they don't do that anymore. It's just this Mark I reactor and a few Mark IIs that do that. All the other boiling water reactors, the Mark IIIs, and all the other pressurized water reactors do store it down low. That at the time this thing was designed, you got to remember, this was designed in the mid-60s. They were afraid that if they opened gates and the fuel pool was lower than the nuclear reactor, they could drain the nuclear reactor. So if they put the pool on the same elevation as the reactor, that wouldn't happen. So there was a logic behind it, but then they basically developed a better fuel transfer mechanism that doesn't happen.
I see.
You know, you can get this fuel out of these pools. The technology's there. There's dry cask storage is available, and there were dry casks at Fukushima. They all survived the tsunami just fine. In the U.S., we could take all of our fuel pools that are totally overcrowded and put them on the ground. But the problem is the NRC is letting the utilities that own them get away with it because they don't want to spend the money.
Well, of course. Isn't it always about saving money, even if they put the population at risk? And that's the sad part about this. But if you get back to the 1960s, when this was being designed, this is this a Mark I facility or a Mark II?
This is a Mark I.
Mark I. certainly in the 1960s, the scientists at that time must have known that Japan, that whole region, was geologically extremely active. That's not a big secret even in the 1960s. How could they? I'm not accusing you. Obviously, you didn't put it there, but I'm asking you to try to help us understand what kind of weird thinking went on. How could they even place a nuclear facility right on the coast where it would be hit by a tsunami? 10 seconds and we got to go to break. Okay. And we'll answer it on the other side.
Okay, great.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to set you up like that, Arnie. My timing mistake there. But we'll be back with an answer to that question and much more straight ahead on The Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams filling in. Stay with us. A lot more straight ahead. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Hope you're enjoying our conversation on this amazing Friday. Amazing being, how amazing is it what's happening in our world and the lack of a reasonable reaction to it? We've got a Fukushima situation that quite literally threatens life as we know it in the Northern Hemisphere. It doesn't mean it would instantly kill us all, but it could unleash radiation that could kill us slowly. It's the big slow kill situation. It could contaminate our food supply for literally centuries if the worst case happens. So we want to prevent that. We want to solve this problem. And just before the break, Arnie Gunderson from fairwinds.com, who is probably, arguably, the most respected expert who's speaking out on this issue, he said that we have the technology to remove the fuel from these precarious fuel pools and put them in a safer storage location. So my question to you, Arnie, and thank you for your continued time with us here. I know you're extremely busy, and I really honor your time here on the show. Why isn't the international community, and the U.S. in particular, on all hands on deck, red alert, let's go over there and solve this problem immediately and eliminate this danger now?
My one-word answer is money. We didn't have to wait for Fukushima to know that that a problem of this nature was looking over our shoulder. There have been experts out there saying it for years, myself included. There's this stuff called dry cask storage, where after the fuel's about 3 or 4 years old, it can be cooled in air. And so it gets put in these casks. It's still hotter than a pistol from a radiation standpoint, but the physical heat is down. They put them in these huge casks that weigh 100 or more tons, and they set them on the ground. And until we get a long-term storage solution, the best place is out of those pools and on the ground. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission is playing games with this, and they're saying, well, we need to consider all of the costs as well as the benefit of getting it out of the pool.
But wait a minute. Let me interrupt you there, I apologize, Arnie, but when they needed to bail out Goldman Sachs, they came up with the money. They just created $1 trillion out of nothing, and they bailed out the banks. So how is it that saving the banks is more important than saving humanity, potentially? does the NRC, does the U.S. government not understand a scale of dangers? I don't get this. Why are the banks more important than saving humanity?
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, and the money's there. It's not like, you know, well, for the banks, we had to create the money, sort of. But there's a $27 billion fund for long-term storage. Now, that's set aside for looking for geological storage and things like that. But we could use that fund. So we have been putting in a tenth of a penny per kilowatt of nuclear power we use for years and years and years. And so this fund has developed over $20 billion. We could use that fund to put all these fuel pools in the dry cask storage, and this problem would be solved, both from a terrorism standpoint as well as from, you know, an act of God like at Fukushima. This is solvable.
What kind of time frame? If the money were made available today, let's say if the Federal Reserve actually wanted to solve this problem, and they went into their little computer and they typed in some digits and created another $1 trillion like they did every time they wanted to bail out Wall Street, if that money were available, what are we talking in terms of total cleanup? Like 10 weeks, longer, 6 months? What do you think it is?
You just have to fabricate the containers, and it would probably take a year or two to to fabricate enough containers. So, you know, certainly within 3 years, it's solvable. And it doesn't even take an act of Congress or the Federal Reserve. It just takes the Nuclear Regulatory Commission saying, do it.
But even, okay, if you say 2 or 3 years to create these containers, but in that time frame, then, between now and the time that this is solved, an earthquake, you said a 7 or a 7.5 magnitude earthquake with an epicenter near Fukushima could bring this pool down before the problem is solved and thereby unleash this massive amount of radiation. It seems like we are at risk for this time period. And the government has, the NRC hasn't even announced that it's going to take these steps to solve it. So we could be facing this risk for a decade, couldn't we?
Well, we've got, yeah, there's two questions there. One, what I was talking about is in the U.S., we could solve this in 3 years and just pray there's no earthquake. You know, in Fukushima, I was on Chris Martinson a year ago, and I explained how you could solve this problem, which was to build a building outside the building to lift the nuclear fuel out. And just last week, Tokyo Electric said, you know, we're going to build a building around the building. they are taking way too long to solve this problem because of exactly the concerns that, you know, another earthquake could come.
But it seems like we are being smothered by red tape here. We are, it's like humanity is hanging on the edge of a cliff by our fingernails, figuratively speaking. This radiation of release could happen at any moment if Mother Nature, if an earthquake takes place. And yet governments everywhere, Japan and the U.S. in particular, are dragging their feet on this and doing nothing. They're not taking responsibility. They're not even serving the interests of the people that they claim to represent. This is pathetic. This is sad because it's a case of almost another, you know, democide, death by government if the worst case happens.
Well, I think it's, you know, death by the nuclear industry deeply infused into government here. This is a the regulator, the Japanese have a great word for it. When people working for the regulator go to work at a high level and well-paying jobs at the utility, they call it ascent into heaven. So there's this coziness, and it's with the IAEA, who I've seen papers say that they're a watchdog. In fact, Article 2 of their charter says their goal is to promote nuclear power. So the industry and the government are essentially one no matter where you go. The Prime Minister of Japan now was the finance minister during the accident, and one of his emails surfaced about a month ago, and it said it was from 3 weeks after the accident, and he said, whatever you do, do not affect TEPCO. So, wow. You know, they've been more interested in protecting TEPCO and their own bureaucratic butts than they have been about protecting the people of Japan.
Well, what's new? And what government body or department doesn't want to cover its own butt? Or, in the case of the ATF or the DEA in America, they actually create problems so they get bigger budgets and become more powerful. The CDC did that. The FBI does that, running these false terror events. But that's a different topic. Let me ask you this. I noticed that the general public has a very poor understanding of what I would call relative risk. I was trained in a scientific way as an engineer, very strong background in mathematics. And I often think about the relative risk of events. A lot of people are concerned about, let's say, Yellowstone exploding. Well, that happens once every 600,000 years. Or they're concerned about a comet or an asteroid hitting the planet. That's possible. But in terms of relative risk, the Fukushima event is here now. It is orders of magnitude more likely than many of these other concerns that tend to dominate people's psychological focus. Can you speak to this issue of relative risk and having an appropriate perception of what risks really exist?
I have a saying, sooner or later in any foolproof system, the fools are going to exceed the proofs. And I think that we fooled ourselves at Fukushima, we as the world. And all, essentially, this concept is for any reactor, but let's look at Fukushima. You know, we knew we could build a power plant that could withstand a Richter 7 and a 3-meter, a 9-foot tsunami. So that's what we built. And we fooled ourselves into thinking that that's what Mother Nature was going to give us, a 7 Richter, 3-foot, a 3-meter tsunami. the economics to build a plant to withstand a Richter 8 or a 60-foot tsunami would have made it so you wouldn't have built that nuclear plant. You couldn't have afforded to build that nuclear plant. So I think that in the back of the people's minds who are advocates of the technology, they convince themselves that Mother Nature is going to be benign. But, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing. Keep going. That because they're so wrong. Mother Nature always gives you it hands you something that's completely unanticipated. In fact, you cannot even imagine the human mind, even a brilliant nuclear engineer, nuclear physicist, cannot accurately anticipate the unexpected nature of Mother Nature.
Yeah, you know, my journey has been from, you know, pro-nuclear, senior vice president. And then I got to the point when I blew the whistle and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission took bribes and deliberately botched the inspection. I still believed in the technology, but I didn't believe in government. And now, you know, the Fukushima accident has pushed me over, and I'm at a point where, just like what you said, I don't believe that mankind can build something strong enough that Mother Nature can't knock it down. And considering the consequences, you know, it's not just the risk. If it was, you know, one person getting knocked over a tsunami, that's one thing. But the risk of this and the consequences.
Yeah, it has to be risk versus consequences, because that's the other side of the equation.
Yeah. You know, Gorbachev said that in his memoirs. So this is a smart guy. He's been around a while. He said that it wasn't perestroika that ruined the Soviet Union. It was Chernobyl. Hmm. I think we're seeing the same thing here with Fukushima. This is going to be $500 billion or more dollars, and that works out to be about $4,000 for every man, woman, and child in Japan. And it's going to bring that country to its knees. Do we want a technology that can be perfect for 40 years and then have one bad day? And wipe you out.
Very good question, Arnie Gunderson. We're almost out of time. I want to encourage people to visit your website, fairwinds.com. And Arnie, any final thoughts you want to add in the next 30 seconds as we round this up?
Just real quick. You know, we've been told that nuclear is safe and we can store the nuclear waste for $250,000 years. But those same people are saying we can't use solar because we can't store the solar electricity overnight. And that doesn't make sense to me. If we can develop a technology to store nuclear waste for $250,000 years, we can certainly develop batteries or something to store the sun overnight.
Well said. Arnie Gunderson from fairwinds.com. Thank you, Arnie, for joining me today. A real honor to have you on. I enjoyed the conversation with you immensely. On the other side of this break, Alex Jones joins us. And thank you again, Arnie. All right. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Like an angel, walk like an angel.
Yeah, the Fukushima situation is precarious, and only the most obscene denialists would look the other way or stick their heads in the ground over this issue. It's serious, and joining us in the next few minutes is going to be Dr. Len Saputo to give us some solutions just in case a massive radiation release heads over to North America. But until then, as promised, we're going to be turning over control of this InfoWars battleship to the commander, Alex Jones, who joins us by phone with some special announcements. Alex, how are you doing today?
Oh, Mike, you're so great. Thank you for sitting in on the show here. No, I just realized yesterday that the end of this month is creeping up on us very, very fast. It's racing towards us. And so over the weekend and then on Monday up at InfoWars.com, we're going to have some breakdowns on what's coming up with Bilderberg this year. I mean, these are the people running our military, openly growing the opium in Afghanistan. Think about that, public view. These are the people worldwide installing continuity of agenda TSA groping, with Geraldo Rivera now saying he was raped by the TSA. That's what this is legally. Is rape what they're doing, but they take him out and brutalize him, particularly just like many congressmen. This is about getting away with whatever they want. The Bilderberg crowd are the people that are running all of this. They are at the very top of the pyramid. There's other powerful groups, but those are all run by Bilderberg attendees as well. And so here's the big announcement. A lot of folks know Jim's getting old, and he's kind of passed the baton over to Mr. Anderson over at American Free Press, doing a great job. I, in the last 2 years, was contacted by somebody inside Bilderberg. I'll just leave it at that. I won't say if it's a member or one of their assistant secretaries, whatever. I'm not going to say. I then got another source last week. And folks noticed I was able to call and do the name of the conference, Palm Tree Conference, that Bilderberg is booked under. So right now, Bilderberg is 100% at the Westfield Marriott. I was talking to a national journalist last week, and they're like, is it really going to be there? And I said, yeah, I mean, they're booked. There's a slight chance. I think they've only done this once before. They could know that a big crowd's coming to protest them and move it somewhere, but that's probably not going to happen. And I'll know by actually today. I've got to make some phone calls. But today and tomorrow is when the Bilderberg Group people all officially fill the slots. They've had the invitation, the code word, and then they have to call and get booked under the Palm Tree Group. But the hotel in Virginia is shut down for those days. The 31st of May is the 3rd of June. So for those 3.5, 4 days, I'm going to be there. And it's also important to add, completely peacefully in the info war, protesting and also alternative media coverage. Our guys just on Justin TV last year, Paul Watson and Aaron Dykes, had 3.5 million views in 3 days just on a Justin TV account that we never even used. So we're going to be live on Justin TV. We're going to be live at PrisonPlanet.tv in higher quality. We're going to be all over the place. This is going to be a very special year. And unless they back off and move somewhere else or go to Canada or go back to Europe, and I don't think that's going to happen, they are there. It is confirmed. And I now have a source. I've had it the last few years, but it's definitely confirmed. I now have a source in Bilderberg. Something that only Jim Tucker has really had. I think people have had some on the sidelines. This is a big victory for us, and now I just don't have one. I have two. So it's a pretty big victory. A lot of boffins died to bring us this information to quote Star Wars. So we've got the plans. Now we've got to rally everyone. Yes, be there. I want to see thousands of people. If we could get Europeans over 500 at one time, show up in the middle of nowhere in St. Moritz, and they even tried to block the trains to go into the area for any activists or foreigners, then we should be able to get a few thousand people peacefully to demand media coverage and make the corporate whore media cover it. Because remember, all these decades it didn't exist, we were crazy. Now they have to admit it, but they don't want to cover it.
Yeah, and Alex, I'm glad you mentioned peacefully in terms of the protest, because that's crucial to send that message out to those who are going to be there joining you in the protest. Are you expecting instigators to come in and try to cause problems to be blamed on you?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, we've seen some of this at other big G20s and things, because that's about showing you you're a slave. It's a martial law drill, whether it's in England, whether it's in Italy, whether it's in Germany, whether it's in the U.S. or Canada. G20 is always standardized, letting you know that you're a slave, you're a piece of filth. Basically, martial law is what they have in Chicago with NATO coming up. They want you to know that you're a slave and set that precedent. When it's a real elite Bilderberg meeting where real decisions are being made, not just some public policy stuff like these NATO and G20 meetings.
20 seconds.
Where they're just regurgitating stuff, they don't want attention to it. And so that's why the police always... I'll come back for a few minutes, finish, and then we'll go to your next guest on the Key Fukushima News. Stay with us, folks. It's Mike Adams and Alex Jones, Infowars.com.
We're back on the Alex Jones Show on this Friday, May 11th. Thank you for joining us. A lot of hard-hitting issues straight ahead, and we continue to be joined by Alex Jones himself via phone with his continued announcements about the Bilderbergs. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, just to finish up, so you can get back to the incredibly important issue of Fukushima that the elite aren't worried about, you know, 80-plus times Chernobyl. No, that's no big deal. Again, these are the globalists that think they're God. 4 years ago, Madeleine Albright pulled in the wrong turn and was panicking and basically crying. Luke Radowski and others saw her so scared of just maybe 150 people that were out there at one time. And that's another issue. I've got to think about this to come up with a plan. People are welcome to their own plans. But in the next few days, maybe even today, I'll make an article out on Infowars.com, but definitely this weekend I'm going to call and work on it with Watson to just have some basic rally times and points so we can all rally at one point, and then also, you know, protest and do live coverage pretty much continually through the day and the night there, from the 31st through the 3rd. And again, they're going to arrive that Thursday afternoon. The hotel will be shut down that morning. And then they start meeting Friday and Saturday. Then they play golf on Sunday and leave. That's another issue. We know which golf course nearby they go to. So there's just a lot of things. We're going to be there covering it. And 4 years ago, there, of course, Obama and Hillary were meeting in secret. It was the number one story in the country. Where have they disappeared to for a day? We were there. We knew they were there. Secret Service was there, getting in our face, pointing guns at us, you know, driving by in their motorcades, showing us their HK 9mm submachine guns. Like that would scare us, just U.S. citizens trying to cover public officials breaking the Logan Act, meeting in secret with royalty and others and Rockefellers and Rothschilds. And him and Kissinger setting the destiny of our world, trying to bring in Agenda 21. I'm just a free man who wants my freedom. And so you asked about provocateurs and things. Just to recap, we'd be at the hotel, you know, while Bilderberg was going on at our hotel at night, just eating a hamburger in the bar. And they'd have big FBI guys, you know, come and sit down on each side of us and say, hey, let's attack something. I'm just like, come on, guys, what are you, Secret Service? What are you, FBI? And then later we learned they were assigned diplomatic security corps, assigned to the State Department, and they had plainclothes Marines out there. All of this, like, we're bad as Americans when a bunch of criminals are meeting in there and aren't supposed to exist. We're here covering the real issue. They might provocateur something. They might stage something. They might do something. But I seriously doubt it, because they don't want to draw attention to this real meeting. G20s and things like that are about global standardization of the exact same police state, snatch and grabs, no First Amendment, no free speech. Soviet system comes to America, comes to Canada, comes to Australia, wherever they have these meetings. Global standardization. They do not want that at these meetings. And again, it is on, it is set, it is happening, and everybody needs to be there. If you can take off work in the morning Thursday, and some still arrive late on Friday, they'll be arriving all day. That's always a great time to cover all the entrances so that we can get video of these world leaders and criminals like Osama bin Bernanke and others arriving. But undoubtedly, we need some big rally point. And I'm thinking that should be something like Saturday evening at like 6 o'clock, and just rally and bullhorn right through into the dark at like 8 o'clock at night. I think that's an important thing to do. But I'm going to put out a basic battle plan of when I plan to be there in the info war. And if people want to rally at those points, that's great. But everybody needs to be there. You know, I threw the term out a few weeks ago, Occupy Bilderberg. And some people came out and said, well, you know, that's kind of the socialist Occupy movement. It doesn't matter. The word Occupy just simply gets in media attention. We can call it Confront Bilderberg with the Truth, or Rally, you know, Against Globalists. It doesn't matter. The point is, we're going to be there having a protest, having demonstrations for 3.5-4 days, because it will get international press coverage. It will get huge alternative media coverage. It will be absolutely huge, and it will probably force the U.S. media to cover it as well if enough people are there. And then that exposes the fact that Obama's just a puppet, and that Mitt Romney's just a puppet, and there's a real power behind the throne. And thanks to the Drudge Report the last 4 or 5 years, it's been forced into the mainstream media. That's why 3 weeks ago the Washington Post admitted that basically Bilderberg Group grooms both political candidates and vice presidential candidates, an amazing admission from a paper that's been part of the meeting going back to 1954 in Utrecht, Holland, when it first kicked off. But listen, get to your next guest. I just wanted to make this announcement here that, yes, it's on. Yes, it's in Chantilly. And now we're only like 20 days or less away from the kickoff of this. So, folks, don't say you didn't have a chance to really go protest and expose some real globalists. Advertise G20, they advertise NATO, they advertise RNC, DNC. You go there, the cops are all waiting for you, they belly club you, they sound cannon you. They're there to treat everybody like slaves, teach everybody there's no freedom in America. Same thing in Europe. But they don't do that at these because they don't want the media attention. The police, quite frankly, we'll be there with red carpets and be asking you if you need a lemonade. I mean, not quite, but they have been told in Canada, once you actually get through the cordon, and they've been told in Virginia, do not arrest anybody because then the media will have to report on it. So, again, I think the safety level is very high, but we need a lot of media monitors, cameras on at all times to cover whatever happens. If the feds try to provocateur some stuff, they did do one little thing as a test 4 years ago when I was in Virginia. We are going to be on them exposing their criminal false flags because their garbage doesn't work anymore. But these are the criminals. These are the enemies of America. This is one of the most important confabs, and it's right here in the U.S. We have got a real chance to force this out there. Mike Adams and the whole crew there, God bless you. Get to your next guest, and we'll have more at InfoWars.com in the next few days on this, and I'll see all of you in Virginia.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Outstanding information. Sounds like it's going to be not just a powerful rally, but actually just a great time to meet other like-minded people out there at this peaceful rally that Alex Jones is calling for. Once again, check InfoWars.com for the details about the rally points and the rally times out there at the event. Bring your recording devices, your video recorders, your audio recorders, your hidden video recorders, whatever it takes. Put three or four cameras on your body, mount them everywhere, and get video and upload it to YouTube. This is the time to get the word out about that. And Alex, if you need my help here to hold down the home base in Austin, I'll be happy to come in and help coordinate during that time. If you've got reporters on the road and you need someone to fill in locally to fill in the gaps in the reports, let me know. This is about all of us working together for this right here, Liberty. I've got it. Got the symbol of Liberty on our desk here. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, moving on. Yeah, there it is. Nice little statuette there. I tried to find one made in America and, that was a challenge. So I'm looking for an American made statuette that I can put on this desk and bring it with me. So if anybody has got one, I'd be happy to buy it from you. Please, I'd like an American artist to have a statuette here of the American Eagle and the flags and the freedom and everything. That's what I'm really looking for. I'm willing to pay for it, willing to buy it. So let me know. You can send that to showtips@infowars.com. Now, we're moving on to our next guest, Dr. Len Saputo, and his website is drsaputo.com, and he joins us to talk about the solutions for what happens if the Fukushima radiation is unleashed in the ways that we talked about during our interview with Arne Gundersen. North America, in fact, the entire Northern Hemisphere, could be just drastically affected in a hugely negative way. Dr. Saputo, thank you for joining me today with some solutions. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. I really enjoyed listening to Arne Gundersen talk about the magnitude of the problem.
Yeah, he really laid it out for us, didn't he? This is not a small deal. This is a globally impacting event. We are on the edge of a cliff as a race, as human civilization, hanging on by our fingernails, as I said. This thing could go terribly wrong. If that happens, we're going to see a massive amount of radiation released, much of it falling onto North America. That's going to put people in a situation where they need protection from radiation. Many people don't realize there are lots of things they can do. What would you like to start with, Dr. Saputo?
Well, first of all, talk about how little radiation it takes to cause problems. I mean, we're looking at a massive amount of radiation. We don't know the amount that's going to come across this country. But there are a lot of things we can do to prepare that are really safe and easy to do. I mean, there are things like diet and supplements, exercise. We forget about the value of lifestyle measures. You're trying to really fight here against the effects of the ionizing radiation, which cause a lot of free radical damage, which is what destroys our tissue and what causes the problem from radiation. Now, we can combat that by building up our own antioxidant levels. And we can do that endogenously, meaning inside of our body with our own defenses by doing a lot of exercise. And that's not a small thing. If we do hard exercise, we build a lot of free radicals in our body. And our body adapts to it beautifully. That's what happens when we get into shape. But there are also a lot of foods we can use and a lot of supplements that I think are outstanding.
So can you name some of the best foods and some of the best supplements that you know of?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got foods that are rich in sulfur, like garlic and onions, ginger, the brassica vegetables are out there. Eggs are very good, and these all make glutathione, which is the most important intracellular oxidant, antioxidant we have in our body. And then there are foods that are rich in ECGC, you know, the green and white teas. If you juice, that's probably the best way to get the most nutrient-dense food that's on the planet. And that'll do a lot to build up your antioxidants, particularly if you add berries to that. And then we look at things like the fermented foods that are rich in probiotics, you know, those friendly bacteria. It's an interesting study on this done, Mike, that shows that if you have the right probiotics, right microflora in the intestinal tract, that it actually protects against radiation damage. That was a shock to me when I saw that, but indeed it's published in the mainstream medicine.
Yeah, well, so, you're absolutely right. I want to comment on that. You know, radiation damages you by when the ionizing radiation strikes your DNA, it can knock out a piece of the code, of the DNA code, that then causes your cells to replicate in a cancerous type of way. But there are nutritional and biological mechanisms that the human body has built in its blueprint to repair DNA, right?
Exactly, exactly. And then there are a whole bunch of supplements, you know, that are wonderful, that in concert can do a lot. It's always better to do the things that you can to build up your own defenses. But when you're looking at massive amounts of radiation, I mean, if it's enough, you can forget it, because there's not going to be much of anything you can do.
Yeah,
but you can add some things that will make a difference. Things like vitamin A, maybe 5,000 IUs a day, and a little beta carotene of 25,000 IUs a day. And vitamin E and vitamin D, another one that is really important, maybe up to 10,000 units a day.
Oh, yeah.
They've done some studies on rats where they poisoned them with radiation poisoning enough to kill them. And when they gave them just a couple of grams of vitamin C, only about half of the rats died. So if we took ourselves to what's called bowel tolerance with vitamin C, that would be a tremendously potent way to protect against the effects of radiation.
And that might be something like 10,000 milligrams a day. I mean, a big, large dose of vitamin C, which is perfectly safe. It's a water-soluble vitamin.
Right.
All it's going to do is perhaps give you a little bit of loose stools if you overdo it, but there's no real harm from megadosing.
There's a whole protocol on my website that takes you to what's called bowel tolerance, and some people can take as much as 40 or 50,000 units a day. And if you're going to be exposed to radiation, and you were exposed to it, then your ability to tolerate the vitamin C would even go up. It's called tolerance to vitamin C. So taking it to bowel tolerance is really an important thing to do, and it's an amazingly potent anti-radiation protective mechanism.
All right, now I think it's important what you just said, and I want to encourage people to visit your website, drsaputo.com, just like it sounds, S-A-P-U-T-O.com, drsaputo.com. You've got some protocols described there. You said that essentially something very important, you can't just take some vitamins, chug some juice, and then go walk through Chernobyl and expect to survive. This is not a bulletproof nutritional suit. You've got to build up this nutrition over time, right?
Exactly. That's why lifestyle is so important, and why fitness is so important, and what you eat is so important. Getting enough sleep is important. All the things that are in our usual lifestyle are important to do the right way. I mean, if we did that, it wouldn't just be protection against radiation. It'd be protection against almost every chronic disease there is.
That's right. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes.
Yeah. You bet.
We also have some other direct firsthand observations on nutrition versus radiation, because I know lots of people who have family members or friends who have gone into radiotherapy for cancer, you know, radiation treatments for cancer. And if you look at what kinds of nutritional protocols they follow before they go into that, you've got two groups. You've got the junk food group that normally do terribly, and they suffer all kinds of terrible side effects from the radiation. And then you've got the holistic nutrition group that normally recovers and goes on to live a long life.
They do a lot better, particularly if you're on an alkaline diet. And you're adding some of the supplements we're talking about, and we didn't actually. There's some others that I want to mention that I think are really powerful. Things like resveratrol. I mean, that's actually been tested in mice who've been poisoned with radiation, and the ones that are on about 500 milligram or equivalent dose that we would take of about 500 milligrams a day do really well. And things like L-glutamine, another really important nutrient to take, because, see, the damage from acute radiation poisoning comes from two sources, and these are all cells that turn over fast, rapidly. And those are in the gut, and that's what really kills most people. And that's, if it's acute enough, it just wipes out the cells because they only have a three-day turnover there. Yeah. So when you're getting poisoned by radiation, if you throw in some L-glutamine, which is a major metabolic fuel of the gut, and a few other nutrients that the gut likes, it's got a much better chance of surviving. Same thing with probiotics, like I was mentioning before. So all these things, when they're taken together in concert, maybe throw a little quercetin in there as well, a great anti-inflammatory bioflavonoid that protects against inflammation. You can do a lot to protect yourself.
Yeah,
so if you have some... Go ahead.
I want to mention a couple of, I went back to the InfoWars store actually before the show here to grab a couple of supplements that I'm personally familiar with that are also well known to help protect against radiation. I just want to mention those. The first is called ThyroSafe. This is just your standard potassium iodide tablets.
Indeed.
KI. That's, you know, protect your thyroid. That's well known. Right. But the other one that's not so well known that I've actually covered, I actually interviewed the founder of this company in 2008. And the company, or the product is called Modifilin. Modifilin, it is a brown seaweed extract. Uh-huh. This is an extraordinary nutritional product. It has been used in other, not necessarily in this brand name, but this the actual seaweed itself, the brown seaweed, was used following the nuclear attacks, the atomic bomb attacks of World War II. It was used following Chernobyl. And I don't have any financial ties to this company, by the way. I just know this to be very, very useful for protecting against radiation, and that is available at the InfoWars store, by the way. And in fact, you can read my interview with the founder of that company. Just go to naturalnews.com and search for Modifilan, M-O-D-I-F-I-L-A-N, or search for brown seaweed extract. You can read that interview. So I just want to add that in, Dr. Saputo, because there's so many great supplements available for protecting yourself. You're not totally helpless.
Right. You know, and all this can be kind of overwhelming because we're really giving out a ton of information here. I've got it all outlined on my site. If you go to drsaputo.com on the homepage, you have a section there where it talks about all the things we've talked about on this show and all the supplements and foods that we've reviewed.
Yeah, thank you. That's very useful information. We're going to talk about more solutions as we continue here on The Alex Jones Show. So stay with us. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes with more solutions for radiation protection all across the world. Stay with us. InfoWars t-shirt on today. May the truth be with you in this ongoing battle for saving humanity from all the various forces of darkness and evil and destruction and death that are trying to destroy us all. Oh, there's so many. It's almost hard to know where to begin some days. But we were just talking about supplements. We've got Dr. Len Saputo on the line with us with some solutions of what can we do if the Fukushima reactor goes into another burnout situation that was just described to us by Arne Gunderson, where it actually bursts into flames. The spent fuel rods or partially spent fuel rods burst into flames and release masses of radiation. And even he said, you know, this is way, way worse than Chernobyl in terms of the amount of radiation that would be released in the cesium-137 and 134 isotopes, both that would head into North America. And then I was just thinking during the break that if that happened, we would have maybe a 10-day window between the actual fire event in Fukushima and the arrival of the cesium on the land on North America. So in that 10-day window, you know what's going to happen? Everybody and their brother is going to rush out and buy health foods. And everybody's going to buy this stuff, ThyroSafe, potassium iodide. You remember, you could not get this last year during the actual following the Fukushima meltdown situation. You could not get this box. I don't know what this costs. It's probably a few bucks. Some people were selling this on eBay for $600 a box. So if you don't have KI or potassium iodide in your emergency medical kit right now, this is the time to get it, because you can get it, because nobody's paying attention. It's the only time to get it. Because once it goes up with Fukushima, this is gone. This will sell out. Believe me, here on InfoWars, this will be gone in 24 hours. Absolutely gone. And Alex would be on the show telling you it's gone. Sorry, you should have got it 6 months ago when you could, when it was cheap. And we had the same situation over at Natural News. We couldn't get any more. It was sold out. But getting back to Dr. Len Saputo, thank you again for joining me, Dr. Saputo. Always great to have you on. Let's talk about the junk food diet of the typical American consumer. Isn't that diet then making them more susceptible to radiation damage? And we talked about the nutrition side. What about the anti-nutrition side?
Well, there's no question. When you look at your cells as a microscopic industrial plant, and their job is to make product, okay? All the things that we need to make our cells function to keep us healthy. And if all of our cells are healthy, you can't be sick. But if you don't put the raw materials into that microscopic industrial plant, it can't make products out of thin air. So if you're taking junk food in that has empty calories or has things that are harmful to your health, then the bottom line is going to be that you're not going to be able to respond when there's any kind of need for the products that your cells are supposed to make to keep you healthy. So it's pretty straightforward. I think one of the things we forget about is that we need to be prepared now for what would be happening in the future. So your point is well taken there. We need to be doing the things like buying the thyrolard or that thyroid SSKI substance today. We need to be living a healthy lifestyle today. You need to build up your antioxidant levels. You need to do all the things that you can do to make your body stronger so that you can fight against the radiation when it comes across.
That's absolutely right, Dr. Saputo. I'll show this on camera once again. This is my famous jar of superfood. I always have one here at the studio. This is absolutely loaded with nutrition. And you can't just take this ThyroSafe potassium iodide. You can't just eat a junk food diet and take this and think now you're safe. It's not enough. You got to have a healthy nutritional diet. You got to follow what Aaron Dykes is doing and what Alex is doing with the nutrition, with the mineralization, if you want to be safe from radiation. And that's got to start right now. Dr. Saputo, sorry to be interrupting you so much, but stay with us. We'll continue with you on the other side. I get passionate about this stuff. We'll be right back. More here on The Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. A lot more straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back, my friends, as we continue here on the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today, broadcasting worldwide from FEMA Region 6 of Occupied America, Banker Occupied America. We are talking about how you know how you really beat the globalists is you get yourself healthy so that you don't become a victim of the Fukushima radiation that now threatens us all and could be released at any time. The winds would blow it all across North America within 10 days. It would hit Alaska in as little as 5 days. This is a very serious threat to us. In fact, if you want to beat the globalists, stop eating their junk food. Stop eating their chemicals. Get healthy so that you can not be a victim of the medical industry and the psychiatric drug industry and have to use antibiotics or get superbugs in the hospitals. You can be you can achieve victory. You can be a patriot. You can be a leader in your life by turning to nutrition. I want to show you some of the nutritional products. They got a shot right here of, this is what Alex and Aaron are drinking, Tangy Tangerine. This is what I drink right here. People ask me, what is that stuff? That's actually Living Fuel is what that is. That's at livingfuel.com. The Mahdi Filan here on top of the Tangy Tangerine. You guys can pan up perhaps and get, there you go. That is at the InfoWars store, the brown seaweed extract. We went out and bought this at HEB, just some fresh juice right there. Some fresh juice. Yeah. What is that juice? It's a veggie juice. It's a combination of carrots, celery, beets, and tomatoes. Beets protect you big time. And all the minerals and all these supplements, all these products, these are highly protective of the human body. These keep you safe. Dr. Saputo, your comments on nutritional victory in America.
Well, see, Mike, you're doing a great job here that no one else is much doing. On Natural News and, of course, on this show, you're spreading information that the American public needs to know, and it's not being popularized. The press is hiding a lot of this stuff. I don't know if they want us to be sick or what, but I think a lot of it has to do with just the money that's in the industry that gives us fast foods and foods that are nutritionally deficient. So I just I want to thank you so much for what you're doing here, because it's the education that makes the change possible. You know, how we spend our money has a big effect on what businesses are going to come and be popular, because money talks. So we have a tremendous amount of power just in the way we spend our dollars. And I think the nutrition that we're eating in this country in the standard American diet is exactly that. It's SAD for sad.
Yeah.
When the USDA did studies on tens of thousands of people and looked at the malnutrition in this country, even though we're overweight, it's stunning because we get calories but no nutrition.
But this is what's so cool about the InfoWars team. They are into nutrition. Alex Jones gets it. One of their key sponsors was Enerfood, or continues to be Enerfood. Can we get a canister of Enerfood out here just to show that? Alex is on Tangy Tangerine, and Aaron Dykes had a massive, incredible weight loss and health recovery on that product, which is high in minerals. I practice nutrition. You know, a lot of InfoWars listeners don't realize I used to be borderline obese, borderline diabetic, type 2. I was hypoglycemic. I suffered from chronic pain. Dr. Saputo, you went through your own health crisis. You got healthy with nutrition. Tell us about that.
I almost died about 8 months ago. I was having a hip replaced. You know, I'm a tennis player and I couldn't walk anymore. So I had it replaced with a hip resurfacing, and unfortunately trusted that everything that the doctors were doing was safe. And of course, it turned out not to be, because I got poisoned by the cobalt that's in the hip replacement. And that led to my just being as sick as I've ever seen anybody. And I did my last will. I made peace with God. And I thought I was done. And I couldn't get my doctors to understand what was going on, because this was such a new concept. And so what we did is finally convince somebody to put in a new hip, which made all the difference in the world about stopping the cobalt poisoning. So I'm doing well now. And a lot of it has been about eating the right foods, exercising intelligently, getting the right amount of sleep, all the lifestyle stuff.
All right, well said. Stay with us, Dr. Saputo. More on the other side of this break. Stay with us on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Yeah, there is a war on for your mind, but you can be a victor in that war. And we have been talking about how to achieve victory in the war on your nutrition and on your body, and also how to protect yourself from radiation that could be headed our way if things go wrong in Fukushima. I want to make this point, and we continue to be joined by Dr. Len Saputo, who is a holistic nutritionist and healing doctor who's given us a lot of great information, and he's going to continue with us. If you want to foul up the globalist plans, stop buying globalist food. Stop buying globalist chemicals. Obviously, you know about Monsanto, but did you know that the second largest GMO seed company in America is DuPont? How many DuPont products are you buying? Did you know that Tyson Chicken is really a big corporate factory farm? Are you still buying Tyson Chicken? Have you looked at the campaign contributions of Tyson Chicken and who they donate to? Ever looked at that? If you buy aspartame, if you buy GMOs, if you buy factory meat, not the free range stuff, the good stuff, but the factory meat, these factory produced foods, you are supporting globalist corporations. You're supporting the globalist agenda. So one of the most powerful ways to fight back is to deny revenues to those companies. And at the same time, by shifting what you buy in terms of your diet and your health, you'll be protecting your body and your family from radiation and from cancer and from heart disease and from degenerative Alzheimer's disease, from all these disorders. You win against the globalists and you save your life at the same time by turning to nutrition. It's that powerful. Dr. Saputo, your thoughts on this subject. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we take a lot of these things for granted and we forget about how much power we have. The power of our dollar and how we spend our money is fantastic. And there's a lot that we can do to change what manufacturers are gonna sell. They will only produce products that they think that you'll be silly enough to buy if they're not any good. But if you're smart and you're listening to what Mike is telling us here, there's a lot we can do. I mean, even the business about water, you know, I was listening to a commercial. They were talking about a water filtration system. How important would that be if there's a nuclear disaster? It'd be tremendous. because it filters out the cesium, okay, that's in particulate form, so that you wouldn't have that in the water you're drinking. And that's, of course, one of the commonest ways that we get poisoned by the radiation that's fallout.
That's right.
So you're right. What a good point.
Well, and part of me wonders, too, if the feet dragging on the part of the U.S. government and the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which could solve this problem. They've got the funds, as Arne Gundersen told us in the last hour. They could solve this problem in Japan. Why aren't they doing so? Maybe they want a nuclear catastrophe in America. Maybe they want the population poisoned. I mean, look at the vaccines. Look at the fluoride. Look at the GMOs and the collusion between the Obama administration, the USDA, and Monsanto. Look at that. It's like they are literally trying to kill Americans. They probably welcome Fukushima going into another dirty bomb outburst, another plume of radioactivity. They probably welcome mass death across America. And the only way that you can protect yourself from that death agenda, which is part of Agenda 21, let's just be honest about it, is to get healthy and make your body immune to those, or not immune, but better protected against those things. Go ahead.
You're so right. I mean, if you take all those factors into consideration, it becomes obvious that there's a pattern that's forming here. There's a picture that's being painted. There's a puzzle that's being put together. And you're seeing all these things that are not good for us. And you'd like to think it's just about economics. And some of it certainly is, because America is an economy. It's not a democracy anymore. It's corporate America that's running Congress. And it's Congress that's got, you're all right about that. So what do? Is you have to take responsibility yourself, like you're saying, and make the right choices. So I'm on board with you there, Mike.
Hey, are you willing to share your age with people? Because you look healthy, you sound healthy. I know how old you are because you told me the other day. I think people would be surprised. You want to go public with that?
You bet. I'm 72 years young, and I'm still playing competitive tennis. You know, you 50-year-olds that aren't tournament players, you better watch out. It really is good to be healthy and to be vibrant and to get engaged in something that keeps you having a purpose in your life. If you do all those things, you're not going to get old. Your mind's going to stay young. Your body's going to stay young. I love life, and all the things that we're doing in our life here is so busy. It's more than when I was 20 years old, but it's great.
Well, wow. You deserve a lot of credit for that. Let's shift gears here, though. Okay. And talk about the CDC and the researching of bioweapons and even what I call weaponized vaccines. I don't know if you agree with that term. What do you think about the CDC, the Centers for Disease Contradiction?
You're right. I mean, we should just get rid of it. It's like the FDA. When they stop serving the people and they're serving private interest and there's conflict of interest all over the place, you have to get rid of it. Except that's not what's happening. In fact, it's not happening in a lot of areas where that needs to happen in this country. I mean, in my view, we should be voting out all the incumbents because we can't trust them. I mean, I would start over from scratch. And I don't know how much of it's just a conspiracy, but a lot of it is pointing that way big time. But we have to wake up as individual people and start taking responsibility ourselves for some of the things we're seeing. No, the CDC is a disgrace to humanity. I mean, look at Julie Gerberding. We mentioned that on your show last time.
Mrs. Gerberding?
Yes. Dr. Gerberding is working now for who? Merck. And what does she do? She runs their vaccine department, probably making a ton of money. Why? Because she did all the things she did to support the dumbass swine flu. Hello. Talk about a scam.
No, let's be clear about this. Dr. Gerberding was the head of the CDC. She hyped up the scare story of the false pandemic of the swine flu, and then she was rewarded with a top position in the multinational firm Merck running their international vaccine division.
Yeah, business is business, Mike, right?
Well, of course it is. The CDC exists today to just scare everybody into thinking they have these diseases. Like we covered the whooping cough earlier. There's another outbreak of whooping cough. They don't tell you that it's the kids that got vaccinated that have the outbreak. Those are the ones more vulnerable to whooping cough.
Well, it makes you wonder who they're serving, because it certainly isn't the American public. I mean, there's so much money and conflict of interest involved here. And there's a conspiracy stuff, too. You know, we don't like to think in terms of conspiracies, particularly as doctors. We don't. But it's kind of hard to ignore it when you see all these things happening that are painting this picture, this puzzle that we're seeing that's frightening.
Well, the you know, conspiracy in some people's mind, that's a dirty word for some reason. Like, what, two people never got together in a room and planned something? That's a conspiracy. That's called a meeting of the board at every major corporation in America. It's always a conspiracy. Are you kidding me?
It's global. And you look at some of the bigger organizations, you know, Alex was talking about the Bilderberg stuff. Holy smoke. I mean, we plug up our ears and close our eyes and say, this is America. That can't be happening. But guess what, folks? This stuff is out there and it's happening.
Yeah.
And we're asleep at the wheel.
Okay, let's talk about false flag attacks, possibly using bioweapons. I want your professional expert opinion on this.
All right.
The conjecture on this has been that in terms of the next false flag attack, it's got to be big, bigger than 9/11, bigger than Oklahoma City. It's got to be huge in order for them to grab more power. Some people speculate it might be a dirty bomb nuclear type of event. Other people speculate it might be a bioweapons release. My question to you, Dr. Saputo, is do you believe that there is bioweapons research taking place in America today that could be used either in good hands or bad hands against the American people to drastically reduce the population?
Well, we know that's happening. That's no secret. I mean, they're perfecting all kinds of biological weapons that can be used that cause disease, and it's like they're doing it anyway. It's like making a pandemic virus like they did in 1918 and replicating that, or making it even worse to use as bio warfare. Of course, that could be a problem, and it shouldn't even be. I mean, if people think that way, what are they thinking? I mean, it's like
they're anti-humanists. They are death merchants. They are straight from hell, if you don't mind me using that term. I mean, they worship death.
Well, I'm beginning to think that. You know, I guess I've had kind of a comfortable life, not thinking too much about that because I've just been involved in my work and in my sport and in my family. And you don't like to think about things like that, but it gets to a point where you see enough of it, you have to be silly. You have to ignore it. You have to almost close your eyes and ears because it's all over the place around us. And if you don't put the pieces of the puzzle together, you're just being silly. You have to look at that.
Well, that's exactly what we are doing right here. We're putting the pieces of the puzzle together. That's why I appreciate you joining us. But yeah, a lot of people do live in total denial. The denial is the worst epidemic in America. It should be called, American denial disease, ADD. Probably have a psychiatric drug for that, you know.
We don't want to think about that because it seems like it's unthinkable. And yet when you see what's happening in this country, you know, we spend all this money on Goldman Sachs. We spend money on wars and we know how the economy is built. And then we see people on the streets of our major cities that are homeless, that are vets from previous wars or have psychiatric disorders because of things that have happened and we don't come to their rescue. What kind of a humanity are we turning into? We have to start taking care of ourselves.
You've nailed it. You've nailed it. That is the question. We've got to have a future in humanity where we have a philosophical foundation, a religious foundation, a spiritual foundation that respects life, that respects fellow human beings. We've got to have morals and ethics. We have technology and science without ethics. We've got GMOs without wisdom. We have bullets and bombs and nukes that can kill people, but we don't have consciousness.
Yeah, well, see, we haven't evolved. What we have done is have revolution after revolution because we get sick and tired of the system that's in power. We have a revolution, new people come into power, they do the same damn thing that the one before did, and how are you going to ever make a change? You have to evolve to a higher level of consciousness. It was Einstein who said, you can't solve a problem at the same level at which it was created.
That's right.
So you have to evolve to another level to do it in a different way, and if you do that, you evolve instead of revolve. And that's a concept that is the biggest one because that's what we're lacking. And we don't realize that we have the power.
Yeah.
Each individual has the power, but we're sitting on our fat butts going, oh, what the heck is happening? Oh, I don't believe this. Oh, no, there are no conspiracies. Oh, no, trust the CDC and the FDA. Come on, wake up, America.
You know, I think this is the key difference. You and I, people like us, we want education. We want knowledge and awareness. Obama and his minions want re-education in a camp.
Well, that's what's version. Happening. It looks like that's happening. It's frightening.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Saputo. We're out of time. Any last thoughts?
Hey, yeah, keep up the good work, Mike. If anybody's interested in learning about the information we've been talking about that has to do with how to protect yourself against radiation, go to the website at drsabuda.com. It's totally free
sick
website.
The globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver and impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in today, the editor of naturalnews.com, a frequent contributor to Infowars.com in terms of articles, and of course, filling in here from time to time on the show, which is always a very fun thing to do because we have amazing guests. I brought some interesting books and products for you just to show you some of what's out there and give you some commentary on it. One book is called One Nation Under Arrest. This is really good reading. This talks about the total criminalization of America and how these laws are being used and abused in terms of making innocent people look like criminals. So that's a great book. It's got an intro by Edwin Meese III. Wow. Not sure if he belongs in that book. But in any case, it's a good book. The next book is by Joe Nobody, who's been a guest here on The Alex Jones Show. It's called Holding Their Own 2. This is the sequel to his very popular fiction novel, Holding Their Own. The cool thing about that novel, Holding Their Own, is that it talks about a couple escaping from Houston, a family escaping from Houston during a collapse scenario, and everything in the book is factual in terms of what kind of equipment and gear you would use to survive. So it's kind of like a, you can learn about survival while you read fiction. Then I found this product in HEB the other day. This is a new drink called NeuroSleep. NeuroSleep, put your brain to sleep. And it actually has Z's right here on the bottle. Z's, go to sleep now. And if you look at the ingredients, guess what's in it? Sucralose, the chemical sweetener, and sodium benzoate, the chemical designed to turn everything in this bottle into a complete dead zone. Its job is to kill everything in the bottle and make it sterile. NeuroSleep, in case you're too awake. Drink some of this. Okay, enough of that. Toss that out of here. Get it. All right, next we have some unpasteurized fresh juice from Central Market. Look at this warning. I don't know if you can even see the label, but it says, warning, this product has not been pasteurized and therefore may contain harmful bacteria that may cause serious illness in children, the elderly, and persons with weakened immune systems. Now, notice that if you sell unpasteurized milk, you get arrested, thrown in prison, raided at gunpoint, and given $1 million bail in California. But here in Texas, you can sell unpasteurized products just by having a warning label on them. Gee, so why can't we have raw milk with a warning label and have our choice? Okay, the government doesn't want to give you a choice. So they selectively outlaw the raw milk while they let corporations like HEB sell raw juice just with a little warning label. In fact, I think I'm going to drink this juice and see if it kills me, because that's what the FDA says. You drink unpasteurized products, you might die. I'm going to drink this on the break. It's making me drool. It's so good. It's got beet juice in it. Oh, it might protect me from Fukushima fallout too. That should be a crime. All right. Next item is an SOS. We're sending out an SOS for humanity. This is something that we've just released on Natural News. SOS stands for Stop Out of Control Science. And you can find that information at sos.naturalnews.com. This is an infographic, highly informative infographic. I encourage you to read and share. And the point of this is that it distinguishes between good science, which is a quest for understanding, and I am a huge proponent of good science. I'm scientifically trained. And it distinguishes between good science and then dangerous science, which is science that is done in the quest for profits and power at the expense of humanity. I'm not going to go through every single element of this, but if you go to that infographic at sos.naturalnews.com, you are going to get the five levels of dangerous science. There it is on prisonplanet.tv, level one through level five. Stay there on that slide for a second. I want to talk about level four dangers. These are self-replicating systems that are a danger to humanity. GMOs, my friends, are self-replicating genetic pollution. So it's different from chemical pollution. Chemical pollution is like Corexit in the Gulf of Mexico. That's bad, but it doesn't replicate itself. If you dump Corexit into the Gulf, it doesn't make more Corexit. But if you dump GMOs into the open environment, they replicate. They make more GMOs. They cross-pollinate with the crops and make more seeds that are contaminated genetically. And that can never be recalled. It can't be put back in the box. We're going to be dealing with genetic pollution on this planet for the rest of life on this planet. We're going to be dealing with that. And nanotechnology could become self-replicating in the near future. Weaponized vaccines are self-replicating because they contain live viral strains sometimes, and that replicates in your body. Dangerous stuff. Science, when it's misused, is a danger to humanity, and that's the point of that infographic, so spread the word on that. Thank you for helping to protect humanity. We've got a lot more straight ahead. We're going to be talking to a raw milk mom under attack by the state of Minnesota. Straight ahead. I want to give you some information resources where you can learn more, stay up to speed on a couple of topics here. Since we have been covering Fukushima today, I want to mention these two websites, enenews.com. Got some good information there. Of course, you're always going to find the most breaking stories on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I'm stunned at how fast Kurt Nemo and Paul Watson and everybody is there. They sometimes are days ahead of when I can even get a story posted. But another website out there is called Enformable.com, Enformable, Formable.com. That's a pretty good website. Also, we're getting ready to go on to the topic of raw milk and the assault on the rights of American citizens in Minnesota, even the raw milk moms. This is a whole new event. I know we've covered this issue in California before and other states, Pennsylvania, for example, but this is a whole new deal. This is a new attack in Minnesota, and a website where you can get great information on that is called The Complete Patient. TheCompletePatient.com. I read his website. I use that guy as a source, Gumpert, for some of my reporting as well on naturalnews.com. And you'll probably see some of his stories quoted on Infowars.com as well. What's great is, you know, we all cooperate. We're all patriots for freedom, for liberty, for truth, for, you know, just the fundamental American liberties. And I love how we all cooperate in this alternative news industry. There's a little bit of infighting, but, you know, those people are just really insignificant in the big picture. Those of us who cooperate and work together for a common truth and justice, liberty for the people, that's what really matters. And so those are some of the websites that are important to see along those lines. Now, in this segment, we're going to be joined by Melinda Olson. She is one of the four moms, I believe it's four, in Minnesota that has received a threatening warning letter from the Minnesota Department. Is it the Department of Agriculture? We'll find out. A government department. And they are warning her they're going to criminally prosecute her if she continues to allow her home to be used as a drop-off point for raw, fresh milk being delivered by a local Minnesota farmer. And she joins us by phone today to tell us about this experience and how she's being threatened and how she's standing her ground and calling the bluff of the government to say, no, you're not going to take away our rights to choose our own healthy food. Melinda Olson, welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Hi, and thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Do you prefer to be called Mel or Melinda?
Mel works great.
Okay, sure. Mel. All right, tell us what happened, what led to you receiving this letter, and what does the letter say?
Well, as you stated previously, I provide a space in my garage as a drop-off point and a picking up point for people in my community and my friends, family, neighbors to pick up food from a farmer of their choice. So that it's, you know, it's a convenient place for them to be able to pick up on it allows for people to get the food that they want to feed for their families in a convenient way. I have to say, Mike, that actually it's 10 individuals in Minnesota. 10 separate people have gotten a warning letter from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture.
Oh, wow. Okay, the MDA, that's the acronym I was looking for. Tell us what is in this letter, because I've read it, and maybe you guys can post it for PrisonPlanet.tv members. It's linked from my story on that. This letter specifically talks about criminal charges or investigation. What does it say?
That's right. After citing several statutes that the state or the MDA believes that I am in violation of, they state toward the end of the letter, after reviewing the evidence gathered during the investigation, MDA has determined that the issuance of this notice of warning is appropriate. MDA warns that should you continue to sell or distribute unpasteurized or other foods illegally in the future, you will be subject to administrative penalties, criminal prosecution, or other enforcement remedies available to MDA.
Gunpoint raids.
I'm sorry?
I was interrupting with gunpoint raids. That's what they mean. When they say other, they mean raided at gunpoint. That's what they mean.
You know, Mike, there was a friend of mine who has the exact same role for a farmer in Bloomington, which is a town just at a city south of me. It's about less than 10 miles away. And in June of 2010, she had armed officers with a criminal warrant investigating, harassing, invading her home for 2.5 hours for the exact same issue.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable that this is happening in America today, Mel. I appreciate you having the courage to get on the air and describe this situation. I've got a lot more questions for you, but overall, this is unbelievable. You are, farmers are delivering food just to your garage so that your neighbors, other moms who want to feed their children fresh, raw, unpasteurized, wholesome milk, they can just pick it up because there's not a retail store anywhere. You're just a drop-off point, and then the state of Minnesota is saying this is a crime.
Right. They've conducted an investigation, and they cite me for distributing and selling milk. Well, I don't ever touch anyone else's product. I don't touch the money. I don't see how I qualify as a criminal for providing space in my home.
No, of course not. There'd probably be less of a penalty if you were distributing meth out of your garage. I mean, the cops would probably just ask for a cut and then leave you alone. But boy, if you do food, oh my God, raw food, real food, farm fresh food. Now you're a criminal. You're going to be fully investigated. You told me on the phone the other day that family-based farming is becoming criminalized in America. What exactly did you mean by that?
Well, I have in front of me, I have some charges against a farmer that I respect, and I have a lot of honor for him. I'm looking at the counts that he's facing, 9 criminal misdemeanor charges. Let me just read some of them. Sale of improperly labeled frozen food, sale of unpasteurized milk, sale of adulterated food, sale of ungrated butter, sale of unpasteurized cheese, sale of food without a license, and the last one, operation of a dairy plant without a permit.
What's this farmer's name?
They are criminalizing farmers for honest toil that has been the backbone of our country for 200 plus years.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's it. It's the war on America's farmers. It's the war on America's family. It's the war on America's culture. The Obama administration tried to outlaw family farms where you couldn't have a 14-year-old son learning to drive a tractor. I drove tractors for my granddad when I was 14. This is part of America's culture, and it's under attack, just as you say, Mel.
You know, the last count that he has against him is operation of a dairy plant without a permit. And can I just say that dairy plant is on his property? It's private.
It's a milking station.
What he produces there is produced for private contractual relationships between consenting adults, people who have deliberately, thoughtfully, intentionally made a point to seek out products that are healthy for their families. That's the kind of food that he's producing, and that's what is currently, if we continue on this trajectory, it will be against the law to produce.
No, this is outright complete communist takeover of America's farms. That's what it is. It's total communism. It's in America. America has been taken over by the banksters. America is being led by someone who isn't even qualified to be president. America has been occupied. We are occupied, and the communist takeover of the farms has begun. It's happening in California. It's happened in Michigan. With the Julie Bass issue, the front yard gardening, the pigs, the feral pigs issue with Mark Baker at Baker's Green Acres. It's happening now in Minnesota. It's happened in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, all over the country. Farms are under attack. It's outrageous. There is a rally Monday morning at the Minneapolis courthouse in defense of this farmer. Please, Mel, tell us about that rally so we can get some patriots out there to help support this farmer.
Okay, the farmer who's on trial in Minnesota on Monday morning at 9 a.m. In Hennepin County, his name is Alvin Schlangen, and he faces four counts of criminal misdemeanors, which each come with a possibility of fines and several, I think, up to 90 days in jail for each count if he's found guilty. And his charges are extremely similar to the ones faced by another farmer that I read to you just previously. We have a rally in support of him at 7 a.m. on Monday morning on the grounds of the Hennepin County Government Center. And this is a chance for Minnesota moms and others to join us and to take a stand and to say, we will not comply, we will not back down, and we will not be intimidated or be caused to fear that the sourcing food for our families that we believe has integrity, is whole, is locally produced, lovingly raised. We will not back down from continuing to get those foods for our families.
It's the best.
No matter what regulatory oversight tries to say.
Absolutely. Good for you and good for the other moms who are standing up. Well, I want to encourage viewers to visit the website that covers this, that has more details, rawmilkfreedomriders.wordpress.com. I believe that's it. See if you can bring that up, guys, there in the command console, rawmilkfreedomriders.wordpress.com. And I know that they are covering this event. This is a red alert call to all patriots, farmers, every American in Minnesota who wants to help defend the integrity of America's culture, the right to access real food. Be there Monday morning, 7 a.m. The rally begins on the steps of the Minneapolis courthouse there in the capital of Minnesota. Mel, what else is happening at that rally? Do you know exactly what the plan is? Are they unveiling a declaration of food independence or something like that?
That's right. There'll be a declaration of food independence, and it will be revealed, read aloud, and attendees in Minnesota and anyone else who would like to join us and would like to sign will be welcome and invited to put their signature on the Declaration of Food Independence, stating that we will be taking back the right to foods of our choice.
Absolutely. Well said. Very well said, Mel. Now, what do you, how are you going to challenge this letter? Have you replied to the Michigan government, the communist tyrants who are threatening you? Have you replied to their letter yet, or do you plan to? What actions are you taking to protect your family against their threats?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask. In the immediate future, of course, we have the rally, and we have a really exciting workshop. I think one of the things, the strengths that we have here in Minnesota and around the nation is solidarity. And one of the ways that we'll be showing solidarity is the rally. And we're also building unity in a workshop. And I'm really excited about that because it equips us, it inspires us, it will give us tools to use as we stand up for our rights. And what I'm doing on a personal level, you know, it's funny, Mike, but I find myself, like today especially, wandering around, making sure all my doors are locked, making sure my back door is secure. And I find my eyes roving up and down the street, wondering who's driving by. I have happened to see, you know, local police force driving up and down my road, I would say a little more frequently than usual.
Yeah, well, it's because you have the right intuition. You have mother's intuition that the government is the criminal element. You know that they're the danger to you, your family, your freedoms. You are right to do that. Lock your doors. The government might be out there. They're worse than the criminals. They are the criminals. They're taking away your rights, taking away your food, threatening you with ridiculous letters, destroying America's farms. They have become the criminal communist element that's trying to take over America today. They've got to be stopped, and this rally could be part of it. So I'm glad you're on board with this. Thank you for being here, Mel, for being on the air.
Well, it's, you know what? It's absolutely my honor to be able to stand up and advocate for the freedom to choose foods of our choice and to advocate for these farmers. There's persecution going on here in the United States, and I don't know how aware the public is that we have a group of people who are being vilified, who are being criminalized and marginalized, intimidated, and forced out of business. And these are the people who have been the backbone of our country and what our freedom was founded on. I have so much respect and so much honor for these men and these women who day after day continue to produce these amazing, nutrient-dense, wonderful foods.
Yes.
And they do it, and farming is not easy anyway. And they do it in the face of this daily persecution and the threat of intimidation, harassment, and criminalization of their efforts.
Absolutely. And I want to send a prayer out right now to a man who I know is listening, James Stewart, in California today. He continues to face persecution in California as well as Sharon Palmer there. That's the Rawsome food case. I can tell you that there will be breaking news about the Rawsome case next week. I don't want to get into the details. It will be shared on InfoWars. I'll get the information over to Kurt and Paul Watson and Alex Jones. There will be breaking information coming out to help those individuals. We are being persecuted. You're exactly right, Melinda. This morning I milked goats before I came in. I bought goats. I have a raw dairy operation on my own farm now. I guess they could come in and arrest me for having a dairy plant without a license, you know, because I milked a goat.
Right. Did you know in Wisconsin, if you produce milk, it's my understanding that the current climate there is that if you produce milk and it's raw, you are not allowed to bring it to a private, like if you, let's say you have a farm in the country or the rural area, and then you have a private property in town, it's against the law for you to bring milk that you've produced yourself on your own property and drink it on your own property if you're inside city lines.
Unbelievable. And it's raw. Wow. So now you're going to be arrested and imprisoned for food smuggling, your own food.
You're right. I've heard the word fascist applied to these kinds of circumstances. And it really is amazing. I wonder someday if I will end up laughing about this right now. It's so serious. I can't, but we're talking about milk.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. Fascism is the right word. It even reminds me of Naomi Wolf, who warned about the 10 steps to fascism. And she's been a very, very popular speaker about those issues from the left side of the false political paradigm. But she was right as well. And this takeover of America's farms, this is one of the 10 signs, essentially, of the rise of fascism, the corporate-controlled, oppressive police state government running theater security events all over the country to scare everybody into submission. You know, Geraldo Rivera just went on the record, said he was raped by the TSA. I don't know if that's the right exact word for it. I don't know exactly what went on in his pants there, but I maybe it's not a rape. Maybe it's a sexual assault, but those are his words. This is all coming out now about how oppressive and brutal and completely illegal the government has become.
That's right. And it's up to us. It's up to us to set the standard, to say no, and to take a stand for what we know to be our rights and our personal freedoms and our personal liberties. The time is now. Once it's gone, it's a lot harder to get back.
The time is now. Absolutely, Mel. Once again, a call for everybody in Minnesota to join this rally Monday morning. That's May 14th, I believe. Yeah, May 14th, 7 a.m. at the steps of the Minneapolis, Minnesota Capitol or Courthouse building. There it is. It's on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Mel, what other sources of information do people need to tune into? Can you give us some websites or blogs where people can stay informed, or have I already given those out?
You know, you've cited the ones that will be most current and most up-to-date and provide the most thorough information. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, great. Any final thoughts that you would like to add, Mel, about your experience or your advice to other moms who may be involved in raw milk for their babies and they're afraid of being threatened?
Well, first of all, I would say get rid of the fear, throw it out the window, because what you are doing is absolutely right. It is righteous and it is sound, and you have right on your side. So don't fear and don't back down.
Well said, Melinda Olson. Thank you for being on the show today, Mel.
Thank you very much.
All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. A lot more straight ahead. Alex Jones Show. Yeah, we're here. We're going to come back with a lot more. Stay ahead. Stay with us. What an incredible show we've had today. It's not even over yet. And if you think about it, I've got all these stacks of news on Alex's desk here. We've only been able to scratch the surface. We've covered maybe 10% of all the news that we could have talked about today. There's so much more out there. Some breaking issues that I've just got to touch on here. Number one, you know, Laura Presley is running for city council here in Austin. She is the pro-Ron Paul candidate. She's the anti-fluoride candidate. She's been a guest on the show. For those of you listening in the Austin area, please get out there and vote. Get out the vote. We've got to get good people into office, people who represent the people instead of the corporate sellouts. You know, this city gave a multi-million dollar tax bailout to Apple Corporation, Apple Inc. Like Apple needs money. One of the wealthiest companies in the world. So they took money out of the taxpayers from Austin. They just gave it to Apple. That's insane. I could talk a lot more about that. Here's another thing. Cop kicks pregnant woman in the stomach. This is in Georgia. An incident occurred. This is Steve Watson has this article on Infowars.com. When Officer Jared Wheeler was called to the pregnant woman's home and he eventually kicked her. Oh, man, he kicked her right in the pregnant stomach area, and she could not believe that a police officer would kick her right in the baby. Oh, man, he claims he didn't know she was pregnant, but 9 months pregnant, how could you not know? Right, how could you not know? Another thing is I'm going to be hosting InfoWars Nightly News tonight, so we got some big issues there that we didn't even get time for today. Finally, another issue is GlaxoSmithKline fined over vaccine trials after 14 babies are dead. This is in the Buenos Aires Herald, Buenos Aires Herald, as we say in English, BuenosAiresHerald.com, GSK fined over vaccine trials after 14 babies dead. Yeah. Killing a few more babies? That's just the history of medicine. What's unusual about that? More vaccine trials. More evil adjuvants that destroy your brain and lobotomize you. And then, yeah, there it is. They've got it up on screen. Also, I saved a few minutes here because I want to offer some personal commentary about the Second Amendment. And I haven't spoken out enough on the Second Amendment in the past. And I want to be on the record with my absolute support for not just the Second Amendment, but of course the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. All of these are very important, but none of them would be possible without the Second Amendment. I am a firearms owner. I have been licensed to conceal carry since 1996. I've taken training all over the country for firearms. I'm competent, and I abide by all the firearms laws and regulations that do exist, so I don't have any illegal, you know, firearms, if there is such a thing. I guess there is under current law, but I do abide by all the rules, and I own firearms legally. And I want to give out a message to those who maybe aren't into firearms, the rights yet. You have no idea how many people are concealed carrying out there and thereby keeping you safe. When you go out to the Walmart or the grocery store or the gas station, there are people all around you with concealed carry firearms. People like me and others like me who are law-abiding citizens. Many are former active duty military. Many are active or off-duty police officers. Many are just intelligent, informed, patriotic supporters of America who are into protecting innocent people. And we carry firearms, and by doing so, we help keep everybody safe. We're not trying to be cops. We're just citizens who are informed and who understand the Second Amendment and who support it. I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment, and that's what's going to keep our country safe. So keep it legal, man. That's crucial. Thank you for everything today for joining us. I always enjoy hosting. And watch InfoWars Nightly News again tonight. The rebroadcast of this show begins now. Thank you all. Have a great day.